The Sixers are in need of some soul-searching after blowing a 26-point lead to the Hawks in Game 5. Other than Seth Curry and Joel Embiid, not one single Sixers player made a shot in the second half of Wednesday's meltdown. Ben Simmons took one shot, and he missed, a lack of effort which has Stephen A. disgusted.
What a disgraceful performance. You blow a 26-point lead. And Ben Simmons, there's nothing more I can say about you, bro. You got one Achilles heel. You can't shoot. Have you ever worked on your shot? Ever? No points in the second half. 4-14 shooting from the free throw line. Talk about it's mental. Duh. Hell yeah, it's mental something. I mean, damn. God help the Sixers. They lose this series. Y'all ain't gonna never be able to live this down.
All right. Yeah, you heard Stephen A. Roz Goldenwude joining the debate now. Hello, how you doing? Roz, is Ben Simmons holding the Sixers back?
Tell him how you really feel, Stephen A. Okay, so first of all, I just want to say, like, I hate pointing blame because basketball is absolutely a team sport and the 76ers collapsed as a unit. But I will be critical of decisive moments within the game, and Ben Simmons is at the crux of that. First of all, I'm a big Ben Simmons supporter, y'all. He is so talented. He can affect winning in a diverse number of ways. That's why for me personally, if Ben Simmons doesn't want to have an identity as a three-point shooter, fine. If Ben Simmons doesn't subscribe to aggressively hunting or even forcing finding shot attempts for himself within a game, okay. But then he's got to hold up his end of the bargain as being a guy who can deliver what needs to be done for his team to win. And in Game 5, the assignment was at the free throw line. Going 4-for-14 from the free throw line is just unacceptable. And guys, I want to just highlight one key moment. This is the moment for me. 3:31 left in the fourth quarter. The Hawks do a hack-a-Ben. They put Ben Simmons at the free throw line. He misses both. Immediately, quick turnaround, they come back down and score. So Doc had to make a decision, and he had to get Ben up out of there and take him out of the game. And then this is where I think things really changed. So now Ben's out defensively. Trae Young scores 2 times in a row. Then on offense, in the half-court set, the 76ers look purposeless. Tobias Harris coughs it up. Turnover. And I think those moments, that was catastrophic. In the last minutes of the fourth quarter, you know, runs come and go, but to stop the bleeding, that was where you truly actually saw the value of having Ben Simmons on the court. Whether he's scoring or not on offense or on defense, his presence matters. And he couldn't be on the court because he can't make free throws. So that was a letdown for me. I'll point out one more decisive situation. Another guy I'm a huge fan of, Seth Curry. Seth Curry was brilliant on offense. It was a clinic, 36 points. I just don't know if those 36 points were worth it. If you think about how the catalyst to the comeback, the spark that lit the fire was Lou Williams catching on in that fourth quarter. And it was absolutely at the expense of Seth Curry's defense. In fact, there was definitely a moment in that fourth quarter where whoever had Seth Curry on them, they were working to get him on somebody, was going at him and attacking. And it was these buckets, Lou Williams catching fire, 13 points in the fourth, 15 in the second half, where that's where the belief, the motivation, the momentum, the understanding that the Hawks felt they could come back from being down 26 points in this game. So I would be critical of that defensive matchup. And these were the moments where I think things changed for the 76ers.
And here's what I'll say about Ben Simmons. I don't think he's holding them back at all. We could have this conversation all day and night. They should be up 3-1. It's not because Ben Simmons they're not up 3-1. It's because of the defense. They let Atlanta get them. They let them off the hook. And you can't do that. Ben Simmons is who he is. You knew who he was when you drafted him. You knew he couldn't shoot.
What about
you knew he was a great defender. Mm-hmm. You decided to pay him, Charlie, because you like what you saw, which is defender. He's going to get you about 16 points a game. He's going to get you about 9 assists. He's going to be about a 58% shooter from the field. He's not going to take very many shots. How many times are we going to see Ben Simmons miss a dunk? Not often. He missed one last night. And so everybody goes, oh, Ben Simmons, Ben Simmons, Ben Simmons. Be careful what you wish for with a talented player. Now, let's remember, he's only been a pro for 4 years. This is Doc Rivers' first year having him? Did they really have a true offseason with him to get him to build that confidence on how to shoot the basketball, not be afraid? And on top of that, the coaches have got to be able to manage the late fourth quarter to understand it's Hack-a-Ben time. He's got to learn how to knock down maybe one out of the two to slow things down. And so if they can get him to do that, how many teams would line up to trade for Ben Simmons right now in the NBA? Many. But you're giving away an asset that has value when you're doing that. I think the Lakers would love to have him. You go back in history and you think about it, Allen and Charlie. Magic Johnson couldn't shoot the basketball early in his career. He was just dynamic passing and doing other things. But then eventually, he developed the shot, and the rest was history. So I'm looking forward to Ben Simmons at some point developing a constant offensive threat so people can get off his back.
It's the basic fundamental of basketball. One basic fundamental. You know, like the one thing that you need to do to play the game.
You're supposed to hit free throws.
Just shoot the basketball.
Yeah, shoot the basketball.
Like, it's a basic fundamental. I'm asking you to make a one-handed catch in the end zone.
It could be a mental thing right now, though, Allen.
Fundamental. And the problem is,
it could be a mental thing.
Is it?
I feel like the point where I feel like we're Ben Simmons, and we talk about Ben Simmons a lot, let Ben Simmons have the identity he wants to be. Let him be the player he wants to be. I don't think we need to force Ben Simmons to shoot more shots or become a three-point shooter.
But, Rob,
but he does have
that.
To hit free throws. My argument is he needs to make free throws. This was a game that, you know, runs happen, okay? There's going to be a situation where someone throws a punch and someone responds. That's fine. The 76ers had an opportunity to close out the game, and Ben Simmons had to do it at the free throw line. That had little to do with him taking more shots, just him stepping up there. And because he couldn't hit free throws, he couldn't be on the court where he was clearly needed to help defensively stop Trae Young or offensively at least keep this offense moving.
One free throw. All I need you to do is hit one, man.
Listen. You brought up Magic Johnson, who early in his career wasn't a great shooter, but he could score. But he also could make free throws. So that wasn't a major issue for him. It just he wasn't a great perimeter shooter. But all of this, forget all of it. He is going to absorb pressure. He is going to get criticism. Why? I don't pay you $100 million to help me win. I pay you $100 million to get me wins. That's why you're a max player. That's why you're an all-star. That's why you're on the court. I saw you in the first half do a chase down block on Trae Young. You didn't give up on the play. I understand switching happens. I know it's hard to defend that screen and roll. They're very good at it. But your effort was there in the first half. It was in the second half. Ben Simmons' problem, maybe it is mental, Key. Maybe he does check out. Maybe that's the big part here, is he needs to start assuming accountability and responsibility for his team winning and losing and show me you care about that $100 million that I just gave you.
Yeah, well, when you can't make free throws, you don't want to take shots because you don't want to go to the line. It all kind of just one complex equation. And for Ben Simmons, he has not attempted a shot in the fourth quarter for two straight games at this point. And over the course of the past two games, he's only had 5 second-half points. So a lot of work to be done on his end. Okay, Roz, we're going to see you in just a bit. Thank you so much.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Gentlemen, time now for quick takes. You each have 25 seconds. Key, will Lamar Jackson progress throwing downfield in 2021?
Absolutely, I think so. When you look at what they've been able to do, bringing in Sammy Watkins, drafting Bateman out of Minnesota, the emergence of Hollywood Brown continuing to get better. On top of that, they went out and got two new receiver coaches in T. Martin along with Keith Williams, and they're putting Lamar Jackson underneath the center. So I think the emphasis is to make him a better thrower downfield.
Han, will the Steelers make the playoffs in 2021?
No, they will not. They actually have the worst quarterback, believe it or not, in their own division. As Ben Roethlisberger is 39 years old, so A new system for him to learn, same old legs. In fact, already visiting with a trainer on the first day of mini camp. You've got to deal with all of that. Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season, but the longer you stay around, the more of an opportunity there is for that.
Key, who is your favorite AFC North team?
The Cleveland Browns. I think when you look at the Cleveland Browns, what they're capable of building on, remember last year was the first year with Kevin Stefanski. OBJ missed the season, basically with an ACL injury. They continue to get better. It got better as the season wore on. They gave Kansas City a run for their money in the playoffs, came up short. Certainly my favorite in AFC North.
Okay, well, let's talk about the Browns. Quarterback Baker Mayfield was asked about Jarvis Landry's comments about the Browns' Super Bowl chances, and here's what Baker had to say.
Everybody that plays this game is striving to be a champion. If you're not doing that, I think you're in it for the wrong reasons. And I've said that time and time again. You strive to win in everything you do, and that's, you know, the kind of culture that we've been working on building. Because building a culture is not easy, and that's been a process. So, you know, we're striving to continue and building a winning culture.
Booger McFarland back with us. Key, let's start with you. Will Baker lead the Browns to a Super Bowl in his career?
I think so, yes. I think he will. As he continues to grow at the quarterback spot, let's be honest with each other. They have a recipe for success, which is running the football, a couple receivers on the perimeter, a tight end who's efficient, and a defense that's probably going to be much more dominant than they were a year ago. As long as Baker Mayfield can continue to not turn the football over, learn under Kevin Stefanski, there's no reason he shouldn't have an opportunity to win a Super Bowl. You look at the last couple Super Bowl winners, their numbers wasn't big. Patrick Mahomes threw for 270-something yards and won the Super Bowl with two picks and two interceptions. He was efficient, though, at times. Tom Brady last year, the greatest quarterback to ever play the game, he barely threw for 200 yards. Threw three touchdowns. He was something like 21 to 26. Very efficient. Didn't turn the ball over. They ran the football, and they played defense. Me and Booger won the Super Bowl, okay? We didn't throw for 500 yards and six touchdowns in the Super Bowl, but we won it. Our defense was dominant, and when the offense needed to click, they clicked. That's all that matters with Baker Mayfield. Don't be a celebrity quarterback. Play like you played last year and not like your first couple years in the league.
Celebrity quarterback. I love that. Well, you know, I think the question is answered this way. It's basically, can he? Yeah, I think he can. I think he's a galvanizer. I think he's somebody that teammates love. I think he does have enough talent. All that stuff is there. Will he? Not while Patrick Mahomes is in the AFC. I'm sorry. How do you possibly say that they
so
will
you get ready
one
to,
day?
So Patrick Mahomes is going to win the next 10 Super Bowls then? I mean,
give me a reason why they can get past him. Now, if they are, it would be this year because they've got that roster depth, because they've added to that defense. If there's a year to do it, I think it would be right now. That's what you're looking at. But, you know, Key, you'll have to educate me, Booger, you can too, on the cap situation in the NFL. I have a hard time figuring out. It's, you know, to me, it's as complicated as Aaron Rodgers, let's say.
I can pay anybody I want to pay.
That roster, the depth of that roster together, especially when you know you got to pay Baker.
I can pay anybody. Just remember this, huh? I can pay anybody I want to pay when I want to pay him. You see it, Booger? Am I lying? All we got to do is move some numbers around.
You usually do that when you're in your late 30s and you're trying to stick with the team.
Well, Key, you're exactly right. The salary cap in the NFL is just like a piece of Play-Doh. If you want to change the shape of it, all you got to do is squeeze it and rub on it and massage it, and you can change the shape anytime you want to. As far as Baker Mayfield is concerned, understand this. Will he win a Super Bowl? I'll say this, guys. Their team has all the necessary pieces. The offensive line was a top 3 to 5 offensive line in the NFL last year. The run game, the running backs were absolutely outstanding. You have playmakers on the outside. OBJ's coming back. The defense should get a little bit better. Baker is just going to have to make sure in those key moments, when you get to the playoffs, when you get to the games that matter, when it's 3rd and 10, can Baker make the play? When it's 3rd and 10, can Kevin Stefanski and Baker be on the same page? See, Baker is not Patrick Mahomes. You can't just give him the ball and say, hey, Baker, we're going to throw it 55 times today, baby. We're going to win or lose on your right arm. He's not that guy. And quite frankly, there aren't but a couple of those guys in the National Football League. The only two that really come to mind are Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes. What he is a system guy. And when he got in the right system with Kevin Stefanski, you saw Baker flourish. So as long as he and Stefanski are on the same page, that system can be outstanding. And winning the Super Bowl is rarely about one individual. It's about collectively, as a team, can you come together? Can you make the stops defensively, situational football? Offensively, when it's your time, Key said it right. Our offense was not very good, but when we needed them to score points, when we needed them to keep key first downs, they were able to do it. And that's what teamwork is all about. So Baker is capable of doing that. It's a lot's going to be dependent upon what they do around him as a team.
Look, Alan, the one thing that they got going for them is they have something that I like to call portable. They can travel with that offense anywhere because they can run the football.
True.
When you got Kareem Hunt back there and you can turn around and hand the ball to him or Chubb and you're not asking, like Booger say, to have Baker Mayfield like early on in his career under Hugh Jackson and what was the other, the truck driver coach. That's it. What's his name, Boog? The coach that's at
Freddie Kitchens.
I call him the truck driver Freddie coach. When he's allowing Baker to throw the ball 50 times, that's not the recipe for success. I call him a truck driver coach.
Yeah, that's what I do. Jim Tomsula. Well, I mean, look, I also, if you don't need wide receivers, then why do you have to have a guy like Odell and pay him? Like, why would you need those guys? But obviously,
to make plays, man. What you mean? Why they need us?
I hope everybody's happy.
You got to have talent, huh?
By the way, if it
this
only
can't
takes,
just be the,
if it
the,
doesn't
the,
take one guy to win a Super Bowl, then why did Jimmy G get so much grief after not making that one throw he had to make?
Well, he made
because
a lot
he plays the most important
the
position of quarterback.
And if you look
it does take one.
But also, Boog, if you look at the Green this Bay game in the Minnesota game when he almost threw an interception, they was like, nah, bruh, You come over here and hand that ball off because you're not getting ready to trick this off for us.
All right, well, Baker Mayfield, he is off to a good start. He is the eighth quarterback to be drafted first in the Common Era to win his first playoff start. So something to build off, gentlemen. All right, Booger, thank you so much for your time. We hope you have a good one.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
What's up? What's up? Roz back here with us. A lot of future stars in the NBA. And Key is making some predictions at who will become the new face of the league with a special, very special Key's A-list. Key?
Hold on. Let me. Wait. Let me. No, you ain't going to beat me over here like Kenny Smith. I'm good. But this is what I would say. This was Stephen A's list, but because I've taken over the show for the next couple days, it's now Key's list of the future faces of the NBA, not the NFL. Top five guys. We're going to start with number five. I got it on my phone because I'm not as good as Stephen A just quite yet. Trae Young. Now, you got to think about it. Trae Young dropped 5 30-point games this postseason on the road alone, so he's not afraid at all of the opponent's stadium. So when you look at it, this dude is just buckets waiting to happen. Ridiculous. I call him Lil Steph Curry 2.0. And I know, whatever. Eventually, Atlanta is going to get another dominant player alongside of him, a superstar guy, and they will be in the runnings every single year inside the NBA Finals. Number four, take a look at this for me. At number four, I know a lot of people think, okay, whatever, he's buried in Utah. Will he be buried in Utah for long? I don't know, but Donovan Mitchell, sitting there averaging 33.6 points combined last season postseason and this year postseason, when you got a guy like that running shop, you're going to always be considered as a future face of the league. What if he winds up in a place like New York or Chicago
Or L.A., for instance.
Don't tease me.
The marketplace. When you think about that, it's on and off the court. All right, at number three, this guy, Zion. Big Zion. Zion came into the league with all the hype, everything around him. Now the only thing he needs to do is deliver in New Orleans. We know his shoe game is on point, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. We know he's big at the rim. We know he can push it. He became a point forward this year. That means like playing a little bit of forward, also dribbling the ball as a point guard, dishing the thing out. When you talk about a young guy, he's only he's the fourth youngest player in the NBA to start an All-Star game. Now, let's move on to three. Now people really gonna get mad at me. Number three, LaMelo Ball. LaMelo Ball, not his brother, not his daddy. This is LaMelo. Just became the rookie of the year after missing how many games? Many games. And when you talk about guy like this not staying in Charlotte, because I don't think he'll be in Charlotte. I think he'll eventually look for a big market come free agency time, no matter what Michael Jordan try to do. L.A. Lakers, New York Knicks,
always the Lakers.
Chicago, big time city. Now, number one, this is easy for everybody. I can just put it in my back pocket. Luka Doncic, mm-hmm. right? Luka, how could it not be? We see what he's doing on the court. We see what he did on the court. You talk about, I'm changing him from Dallas, even though it's about $201 million sitting on the table for him. Will he sign? Will he not sign? Don Nelson eventually got fired. That doesn't keep Luka very happy. So now there's a New York play there. Maybe there's an L.A. Laker play. All stars in other markets potentially become faces of the league. Five of them, not one of them. Once LeBron James, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant start to kind of exit their way out, these five guys will be there. No more Stephen A. list. Let me get back over here with y'all.
Hustle.
Oh, Kenny Smith.
Stay on sides.
All right.
How many games? He missed 21.
21.
Yeah.
And he still was rookie of the year. Anthony Edwards was supposed to be, right? They didn't do it.
No. Look, okay, Melo was supposed to be.
Roz, I got to ask you, what do you think about this list?
Key, I like part of your list, okay? So I'm with you for your first two. I got Luka Doncic as number one. We're talking future faces of the league. Luka Doncic has international flair.
Yes.
On top of that, dude is 22 years old. He has already cooked against Kawhi Leonard. He has signature moments in the playoffs. He's got a huge body that, for his big and strong, beyond his age, and he plays with a smile. Luka could be a face of the league because his game is joyful. Luka number one. Okay, LaMelo Ball, I also agree as number two, okay? First of all, the point guard position is the hardest position and learning curve to learn at any level, and certainly at the NBA. He did that as a rookie, put a team in a position to get into the playoffs, and did it with flair. I mean, he's got Magic Johnson passing and vision potential. And then on top of that, he did it efficiently. He still scored with a nice shooting clip for a rookie. Here's why else he has the flair. I knew LaMelo was something when he showed up to Lonzo's draft. Do y'all remember in a fire truck red suit? And then run the Rookie of the Year award yesterday and showed up with the inside guys wearing big stunner shades.
I saw that. Boy,
he is something else. So
he
definitely
not
has star potential. Key, I gotta come at you. Where's Jason Tatum on your list?
Yeah,
where's Jason Tatum on your list?
Well, it's very I can't put everybody on the list.
Well, apparently Roz can because she took. Wait, Roz, you have a top five.
It's very
list.
Prisoner of the moment of you.
But
just
you've
because
got
Jason
six
Tatum
people on your list. You
no,
cheated.
Let me do my top five. Let me do my top. Because you know what? Just because Jason Tatum.
I was trying to respond.
Ain't in the playoffs. You don't have him on your list. Yo, as soon as the Celtics get a coach, start playing defense again, and get their act together, Jason Tatum about to be right back in the top of the world.
A lot of things have to happen.
I'm not a prisoner of the moment. I just seen a lot of inconsistencies. And is he really like the leader of the Celtics? Like, I understand his ball skills and everything, but is he that leader? Has he taken that step yet?
Leadership shows itself in many ways. He may not be the vocal guy, but he certainly has shown up by example and with his production. All right, on to my number four guy.
Mm-hmm.
number four guy is Jalen. I messed it up. It's Donovan Mitchell. Okay. Donovan Mitchell has been showing up in these playoffs. 33 points per game. He's athletic. Mm-hmm. He's a really nice human being. I love the idea of Dwayne Wade being there to mentor him. So I could see Donovan Mitchell continuing to develop into a big time star. And then for number five on my list, I'm going to give it to Devin Booker. Okay. We sleep on Devin Booker, but we're going to give a lot of flowers as deserved to Chris Paul, right?
That's why I didn't put him on the list.
But Devin Booker has shown up in closeout games. He's averaging like 40 points per game in closeouts. Signature moment, game six versus the Lakers, and game four also showed up with a big game. You're probably wondering, where is Zion on my list, y'all? Okay, I had to put Zion at six. I can't put Zion in the top five right now because, unfortunately for young players, the stability and health of your franchise is huge to the trajectory of your career. He's about to head into his third season with a third coach. So until they get that together, it's hard to be a face of the league when your team isn't in the playoffs.
All right, what we had here is a failure to communicate because, first, it was the top five list. Roz goes six, so taking liberties already, and it's future... See, we have to understand what's the definition of a face of the league because, you know, when we put this list together, Jason Tatum is a great player who has the potential to continue to be a great player for a long time. Face of the league, type personality, player. That's why LaMelo's got the personality. He's already got the social media following. Luka, as you said, plays with a smile.
International.
Like, he's got that, the international, the man of mystery. You have all these different guys. That Zion has that as well. It's already baked into Zion that he has that popularity, the fame.
I love seeing Jason Tatum and his son Deuce during the interviews. I think
exciting. As a face of the franchise, face of the league. Face of the league is a much different level. So, you know, I'm actually agreeing with Key. I mean, LaMelo, yes. Zion, yes. I think, you know, Donovan Mitchell is a guy that if he gets to a bigger market, just saying.
Yeah.
These guys become face of the league, which you got to think. When you think face of the league, you think LeBron James. You think a guy of that magnitude. Any of these guys have that type of magnitude.
And we think about it, Ross. When we put this list together and we start talking about it, I'm not just talking about the skills on the court. I'm talking about the off the court,
all of it,
appeal, the ability,
the quality.
And when you go, you think about the maceration of where we are now, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, then eventually it became Jordan, then Kobe, Shaq. All of them guys win and they got personality. So that's extremely important when you talk about faces of leagues and geographically where they play.
Wait, Han, I thought you were really upset about your list, too.
My list, you threw it in the garbage.
You saw your list on the bottom of the screen, right?
No, it was just in the garbage. Throw that out.
I'm going to say your pick for Trae Young was good because Trae Young has definitely got that star potential taking bows at MSG. So, I agree with you now. Yeah, I like Trae Young.
Little mini Steph Curry.
I
like Trae Young for sure. John Morant. His Twitter game's on fire, too.
Charlie, he's in Memphis, put everybody
good
on.
Good one, Charlie.
No Murray. We're going to miss some guys.
It is true. You only got five.
So this isn't about basketball. This is a personality contest. You guys should have reworded the list. I didn't get it.
That's what I'm saying. Communicate.
All right, guys. We got to wrap it here. Roz, once again, thank you so much. We'll see you later.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Okay, according to the Undefeated's Mark Spears, Dallas Mavericks superstar Luka Doncic is said to be very unhappy with the firing of longtime GM Donnie Nelson. Luka is eligible for the rookie extension worth a projected $201 million. And when asked how talks between the two sides are going, Spears' people to Luka are saying, quote, "What talks?" Okay, Key, you think that Luka is going to stay with the Mavericks his entire career?
I don't. Based on everything that has been going on of late, I honestly don't. A couple weeks ago, Luka said, hey, you know, they asked him about his Supermax extension. He said, well, why wouldn't I entertain that? And then now what Spears is saying is that conversation hasn't even taken place and it may not take place. So when you look at that, you look at what they did in terms of firing Don Nelson, someone who Luka's been knowing since his teenage years. That affects certain people in certain ways about how you feel about an organization. And if you truly are trying to win a championship, sometimes certain cities, towns don't attract the type of players that can help you win a championship in today's NBA. This is not NBA of old, where the general managers are selecting the free agents. The free agents are selecting the teams. So if Luka has an opportunity to go play maybe in an Atlanta, maybe in a Miami, here in New York, he certainly could take advantage of that, especially from an international standpoint. Just imagine if he came to New York and became a New York Knick and duplicated the same success that he's having now the rest of his career in New York, which means another superstar joins him. They go on to capture NBA title. He'd be the toast of the town, not only here, but internationally. You could build off of him. LeBron James wanted to sign him to a signature shoe deal. Okay? That tells you something. Because Luka has that appeal and that ability. In Dallas, can you get a real bona fide superstar to help you win? Nobody in the NBA that I could think of has won a NBA title by themselves. They've all had another Robin to Batman. Can he attract that in Dallas? I don't think so.
First of all, you even putting him on the Knicks is a setup. You did that just to distract me I can't debate you because you know what that does to me. I started tingling. I closed my eyes for a minute
big cities.
And was like, can you imagine? And I said, stop it, because we've been doing that for way too long in New York.
I'll put him in L.A. with the Lakers AD, LeBron, and Luka.
And I will tell you why I don't imagine him wearing another uniform for the most of his career, because we never know when guys get later into their career. First of all, Mark Cuban is too smart of an owner. He knows what he's got. He also knows that no one can offer him more than they can at $200 million. He can offer that, and you're crazy if you turn it down. Now, it's a brilliant strategy to, if you're Luka and whoever's, you know, his side, but to start saying, like, you know what, I don't know if we're going to sign right now, because you don't like what's going on right there. Donnie Nelson was somebody he was close to. That was somebody that had success in that front office, and things have changed there now with a shadow GM that they've got going on there. But if you're Mark Cuban, you do listen to your players. In fact, he said he does listen to Luka. But should a 22-year-old be making front office decisions?
Yes!
Or should you already know what he needs because you have a good relationship with him and you understand his game and what makes him great? So, has Dallas ever attracted free agents? They never had to. Have they won a championship? Yes, they did. Why? They drafted well. They got Dirk Nowitzki. Then they built around him. They were able to get key players. They were able to get another star like a Jason Kidd who helped him win a championship. So you just got to do what Donnie Nelson did before he was let go, which is build a roster properly around your star that you drafted. So listen to the kid if he has something to say, but you don't seek out his advice. You should know him by now. You should know what he needs, what makes him tick, what fits with him. And if it's not Porzingis, you've got to bite the bullet and make a move. But whatever it is, you do not let him go. You keep him on your roster. You keep him in your franchise because he's not just the face of your franchise. He's going to be the face of the league. We just talked about it. Mark Cuban, too smart of an owner to do what a lot of other owners might do and panic in this situation. He can handle the business.
It's not about Mark Cuban panicking. It's about Luka wanting to stay in Dallas and play. You mentioned Dirk Nowitzki. How long did it take Dirk to win a championship?
Yeah, 10 years.
It took him 10, 11 years. Does Luka
He had gotten to a finals before, remember, though. He had been to the finals. He'd been to the promised land.
Sit around and wait for us to get some aging superstars around us to win a championship? No, he doesn't.
When you have an opportunity to go to a big market, be an international player.
Don't do it.
In a
He's
big market.
It.
The market doesn't have to be here. It could be L.A. It could be Chicago.
No, it should be.
It could be Atlanta. It could be Miami.
Please say it again.
It could be New York.
Oh.
But if it's not, there's opportunity out there. There's a lot of opportunity. When there's smoke, there's fire. You know that.
Well, you have Han over here in his feels.
I really mean,
should Luka go to New York? Who knows? You know, he'd be right across the bridge from the Nets, who are banged up heading into tonight's potential closeout game in Milwaukee. Kyrie Irving still out recovering from an ankle injury suffered in Game 3. Meanwhile, James Harden working his way back from a hamstring injury that has already caused him to miss much of this series. Kevin Durant put on a monster performance the other night, 49 points in Game 5. That was a great game. So, Han, will KD put the team on his back yet again tonight?
No, because I don't think he's going to have to tonight. In fact, I think he's going to get a lot more attention defensively. It's about time, because they know they can't let him do what he did in Game 5. They've got to find a way to shut him down. You can't expect James Harden, if he plays, and I expect him to at least try just like he did in Game 5, you can't expect him on a bad hamstring to be able to really do what he normally can do when healthy. So, head of the snake, that's Kevin Durant. You've got to shut him down. Giannis, that means you, not PJ Tucker, not Chris Middleton. You, with the awards, with the trophies on your shelf. You got to take him on. You've got to stop him, because if you do, there'll be a Game 7. If you don't, you're going home. But Kevin Durant should not have to carry this team. However, he's going to need help, as you always do, from a supporting cast of players. But to carry them to 49 points and a triple-double, I can't see him matching that kind of performance, especially on the road, knowing they're going to focus so much on him defensively.
He certainly can carry him. He certainly will carry him. Maybe it's not 49 points. Maybe it's not a triple-double. But it's something that will win in Milwaukee, because Milwaukee is tight right now. They know that. And on top of that, we want to close it out now. We don't want to go home for Game 7. And we, meaning the Brooklyn Nets, I just put myself on their team, believe it or not. But it's not going to happen. Because Kevin Durant knows that people are still watching him. No matter how great he's been, how many championships he's won, what he did the other night. The haters are watching to wait and see.
Yep.
The moment that he fails, the first thing they're going to start doing is getting on their little social media, start talking noise. You can kill all of that by taking care of business against Giannis and the Bucks tonight. And I think they will. James Harden limped out there the other night,
yep.
Played 46 minutes. That was the other night. And I know a lot of people think he's still sore. No, he's not. He's going to help Kevin Durant tonight. That's why he's playing again. It's simple, man. It's not that difficult to see.
Okay, well, opposite of Kevin Durant, we have to talk about the winner of the back-to-back MVP that in 2019-2020. Giannis, he just signed a mega extension this past summer, and he really has a lot riding on him. His Bucks are staring at potentially being eliminated in this Game 6, and if that would happen, a huge upset for them as they expected to beat the Nets with so many injuries plaguing them. So, what is on the line for Giannis tonight?
Well, his legacy's on the line.
Yeah.
You are two-time reigning MVP, you are a defensive player of the year, and you didn't guard Kevin Durant down the stretch.
Mm-hmm.
You made a decision a year ago in the bubble, you decided, Jimmy Butler, no. Then you go to your post pressers and praise a dude that you playing against.
Mm-hmm.
You sitting there talking about how good and
defense
great.
Defense mechanism.
Like, what are you doing? You're telling Kevin Durant you are scared. You are nervous. You don't think you can beat him because he's the greatest basketball player in the world. Really? Really? I can poll many athletes and give them that same question, and I can almost guarantee you none of them would do that. So when you look at it, his legacy, because he signed a big extension, Supermax deal, and he may not even get out of here to get to the championship. So at some point, Coach Bud will be on the hot seat. He'll be moved on. Then we'll start talking about Drew Holiday and Middleton. What should they do with them? And Giannis needs to get another player with him. And eventually that'll start to trickle in. So, yes, his legacy is on the line.
It certainly is. And for him to win a championship, when you look at his game, we talked about fundamentals when we mentioned Ben Simmons. Giannis Antetokounmpo also has that same issue when it comes to making free throws late, when it comes to shooting the basketball, how we guard you. I'll wait for you to come into the paint. Otherwise, I'm going to let you do what you want to do out there. The only time I'm going out there is if I'm going to foul you on purpose, because I don't think you're going to make free throws late in the game either. This is a guy that if he ever won a championship, name me another superstar who is less talented than him that has won a championship in the last 25 years. I had to go all the way back to the Sonics. I love Jack Sikma. His move helped me get a scholarship to college. So I thanked him when I met him, the Hall of Famer. However, wasn't exactly a superstar-level talent. He won a championship with the Sonics. For Giannis, that's what it'd kind of be. He would need a lot of help around him, just like Jack Sikma did with Gus Williams and the rest.
Yeah, and the Bucks potentially looking at being eliminated in the conference semifinals for this second straight season. So we'll see what happens tonight. But look, we've talked about what KD needs to do. We've talked about Giannis' legacy being on the line. So, Key, I have to ask you, who has the edge in the game tonight? Is it the Bucks or is it the Nets?
It's the Bucks. The Bucks have the edge. They're at home. The crowd's going to be jacked up in the stadium, outside the stadium. We know what that looks like. And you got a wounded guy coming to play in James Harden. Last game, you didn't take advantage of him on the defensive end. You allowed him to just basically stand out there and do what he wanted to do on the defensive end because you didn't go at it. You didn't stress the injury. So now you know that, and everybody knows it. So take advantage of the situation. You got Middleton, you got Drew Holiday, and you got the two-time MVP defensive player. Let's see the adjustment. Being at home means a lot in a packed stadium. We saw them the last time at home, the way that they played. Let's see if they do it again tonight and get back to Brooklyn for game seven.
Man, you better be desperate. They better be the desperate team. For the Nets, it's, you know they can live to fight another day if they have to. If you've hit, it is an overwhelming avalanche of emotion and crowd energy and team energy. I mean, Mike Budenholzer is probably coaching for his job right now. He has to know that in the back of his mind. He doesn't want to think about it. He'll never talk about it. Back of his mind, he kind of knows it. Giannis has got to know the criticism that he's facing right now, all that stuff. You've got to feel the desperation from them. I'll say this, though. For the Nets, you can play a little more free. We got another day that we could fight if we have to. But if you guys show me that you aren't really ready for the task, aren't really ready for this level, okay, we'll win game six if you're going to let us. Remember, game three wasn't a given. They got off to a great start, but the Nets got back in that game, and it came down to the very end. Watch that for tonight.
Well, we talked about edge being different than the prediction of who's actually going to win. So, Key, who is going to win tonight?
I feel like I honestly feel like it's going to be the Nets. I think the Nets are going to win because they don't want to, even though Hans said that they have another day, I don't think they want to get to the game seven. They just want to just end it, be done with it, rest up, and see when they play again. That's it.
I've got the Bucks because I got to feel like desperation plays here, and you're a two-time MVP. You got to show it tonight. You got to raise your level, be the alpha that your franchise needs you to be.
Okay, well, we want to see a good game regardless of what happens, but I know that I want to see the Nets pull it off in the end because I want to see some games behind us for a little while longer.
Sure.
So, guys, this has been fun.
Yeah.
Let's do it again tomorrow.
Well, let's do it again tomorrow, shall we? I think it sounds like a good plan. You guys pulling double duty, no big deal.
Sure.
Only been up since what time this morning?
3 a.m.
3 a.m. Okay.
Some of us
you
pull triple
this.
Duty and more.
All right, everyone, thanks for being here. We'll see you tomorrow.
Always complain, yeah. Man. Always complain.
Look.